Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Friday evening, everyone. Here we are once again, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday because it's Conservative Cauldron. You're listening to. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for everybody chilling out and hanging out with me tonight. It's been a pretty busy week. Lots to talk about tonight, so gosh, let's jump right into it. You know, the biggest thing going on other than that it's actually not 10 degrees here in St. Louis is, well, you know, all you have to say right now is Russia, and everybody pretty much knows what you're talking about. I think even people who don't follow world happenings and who don't follow the news, like political geeks like myself and other news junkies that don't follow things as to the letter, it may be, as people like myself do, they have a working knowledge of what's going on, and there have been a lot of goings on with this very fluid situation this week. Today, Secretary of State John Lurch Carey, maybe that's not nice. He is the Secretary of State. We got plenty of time to call him Lurch later if we want to. Anyway, Secretary of State John Kerry met with the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Basically what Russia is saying right now that should the U.S. impose any kind of sanctions on Russia, the quote was that the sanctions would inevitably hit the United States like a boomerang, was the foreign ministry statement from Russia today on Friday. And so what is going on right now is, the United States is going to attempt to solve this problem diplomatically. And well, first of all, I don't know that we have much of a choice, given as stretched as our armed forces are right now. I don't know that we have a whole lot of choice but to try to solve this diplomatically. But here's the thing, is that I don't know that Vladimir Putin and the rest of his buds are really interested in any diplomatic solutions. I think when you're talking about this situation that I think you can make a little bit of a comparison between the Russians and I'm going to say terrorists, but that's not the word that I want to use. Terrorist-like entities, in the fact that what I mean is that I think that Vladimir Putin and people like him, world leaders like him, they don't put a lot of stock in diplomacy. Oh, it's good for some things, and it's not like they're not going to give it the old college try, and you know, it makes for good photo ops, and you know, there may be few minute, minuscule things that come of it, but for the most part, I don't know that guys like Vladimir Putin put a whole lot of stock in diplomatic solutions. Right now, this report is from Reuters, and it is dated today. Right now, the Pentagon estimates that there are as many as 20,000 Russian troops in the Crimean Peninsula of Ukraine. Sergei, forgive me while I butcher. We've all been butchering these Russian names all week long. Sergei Astakov, an aide to the Ukrainian Border Guards commander, says 30,000 Russian soldiers were now in Crimea. And that is up, it is compared with the 11,000 permanently based with the Russian Black Sea Fleet in the port of Sevastopol. Anyway, there are 11,000 there that are permanently based. And so that number is significantly up. Vladimir Putin was on the phone with President Obama for an hour discussing this situation. And what he says is that their positions are very far apart. And President Obama announced yesterday on Thursday that the first sanctions would go into place. This is... there are also there are other countries now having a say on this and getting involved in it. President Obama from his let's think about what I say this. President Obama has also spoken to German Chancellor Angela Merkel, and he spoke to her today. Where else but on vacation? So let's think about this for a minute, kids. This is a very fluid situation. It's a very intense one. And it could ultimately, if the whole thing goes south and everything goes bad, this really could end up in a civil war. And Barack Obama is discussing this situation with world leaders while he's on vacation. So let's all let that soak in for just a minute. You know, I think no one is going to begrudge the president a vacation every now and then. But you know, some people take the phrase every now and then, they take it a whole different way. Yeah, as we have seen in the last 6 years. Nevertheless, President Obama has spoken with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, and she has also stated that she is also concerned about the situation. And here's the thing, too, with Europe and their involvement or their interest in this situation. First of all, strictly from a geographical standpoint, but secondly, Europe gets a lot of its a lot of crude oil from Russia. And I think we all know that it's been, I don't know how long now, that gas prices in Europe are, I mean, we like to, you know, yell and moan and kvetch about them here in the States about paying $3-4 a gallon for gas. But it's twice that in Europe, and it's been twice that for quite a while. And so the problem is coming in with the Europeans is that they know if whoever they side with, that there's going to be a price to pay here for them. And that price is probably going to come in the form of gas prices. But, again, like I said, this is a report from Reuters, which is dated today. President Obama has also ordered visa bans and asset freezes against so far unidentified people deemed responsible for threatening Ukraine's sovereignty. This is another thing that President Obama claims that he has stressed to Vladimir Putin is that that he believes that and as do I think most nations of the world, whether or not they come out and say it publicly or not, that they do believe that this is a very clear violation of Ukraine's sovereignty. And but also in response to that statement, someone from the Kremlin said that Moscow just, well, they might forget to pay off any loans to U.S. banks. And the top four of which have around $24 billion in exposure to Russia. So, again, here's a little tit for tat here. Should the United States decide to impose some sanctions here on Russia in response to this situation, that, well, they just might forget to make a payment or two. And so that there will be some boomerang response in the form of that. Japan has endorsed the pro-Western position in this matter, and their statement was that the actions of Russia constitute, quote, a threat to international peace and security. That was after President Obama's Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. And this is really kind of interesting when you bring China into the mix. China is usually pretty traditionally aligned with Russia because, well, they're pretty traditionally aligned, let's face it. Their statement in the UN Security Council was more cautious that they believed that economic sanctions were not the best way to solve the crisis, yeah, but they really did not they had no statement on the Crimean people voting on Thursday, I believe, to become a part of Russia. And here's the thing, is that we are going to back those people in their votes and their freedom and liberty to vote how they wish the path of what path they wish their country to take. And but we know that Vladimir Putin and his buddies are not always siding on the side of freedom and liberty and free will and voting for what you want. So this is a very fluid situation. And another thing that happened this week in regards to this situation, there are a lot of very brave people coming out and saying and doing a lot of very brave things during this situation, because again, I think we know how Russian authorities, you can say Vladimir Putin, you can say, you know, pick a name, but even though it is no longer the Soviet Union, I think that we know how Russian authorities view freedom to speak and freedom to speak your mind and the freedom to do that in public and the freedom to do that in a very public way. And a Russian news anchor on live TV the other day, this is kind of a shot that's been heard around the world.
Last night, RT made international headlines, and one of our anchors went on the record and said Russian intervention in Crimea is wrong. And indeed, as a reporter on this network, I face many ethical and moral challenges, especially me personally, coming from a family whose my grandparents came here as refugees during the Hungarian Revolution, ironically to escape the Soviet forces. I have family on the opposite side, on my mother's side, that sees the daily grind of poverty, and I'm very lucky to have grown up here in the United States. I'm the daughter of a veteran. My partner is a physician at a military base where he sees every day the firsthand accounts of the ultimate prices that people pay for this country. And that is why personally I cannot be part of a network funded by the Russian government that whitewashes the actions of Putin. I'm proud to be an American and believe in disseminating the truth, and that is why, after this newscast, I'm resigning.
You know, I think when you step back, and look at that, that it really took, that took a lot of cojones and it took a lot of chutzpah to do that. And I think that she should be applauded for standing up for what she believes in. And regardless, let's hope that it is not too great a cost for her, that, that maybe the only cost involved here is that she will be unemployed. And but that nothing further happens to her. It will be kind of interesting to see, you know, whether or not in the coming days and weeks, if we hear more about this woman and we hear whether or not that there is some sort of reaction to her resignation on live TV by Russian authorities. But again, like I said, that this is a very fluid situation. It's very volatile, and worst case scenario, this could you know, deteriorate into a civil war type situation. But let's hope that that doesn't happen, and that maybe we can solve this diplomatically. I don't know. Again, like I said, I don't know that we have the as stretched as the American military are. Granted, they're the best in the world, they're the best at what they do, and there's none that can touch them. But they're humans, and they can be stretched, and we don't want that to come back to hurt them should they have to go to another front to take on this situation. But we will definitely be following this situation, and because it's changing daily, and so next week, I'm sure the whole situation will probably be entirely different than what we are looking at right now today, tonight. But also this week, we had yet another congressional hearing on the IRS targeting conservative groups. And back in May, everyone's favorite IRS employee, this Lois Lerner. Does she just not? And you know what? All of the pictures that have been published of her really don't make her look like a very pleasant person. That could be a symptom of working for the IRS. You know, I don't know. But anyway, Lois Lerner is back. She's back. And not only is she back, she's also back to plead the Fifth Amendment again. Now, before I say anything about this and before I talk about it, I don't know, you know, there could be somebody out there, there could be people out there that hate Lois Lerner's guts. I'm not a big fan of Lois, but Lois is an American, and Lois does have the right to plead the Fifth Amendment to not incriminate herself, as we all would. So I don't know that anyone is going to begrudge her that, but I think that when she pleaded her Fifth Amendment rights back in May, I don't know that we should have thought that that was going to change in any way, unless a major legal maneuver took place. And but anyway, there was another congressional hearing on this matter, and again, here is another scandal situation. Pick a word. It's another situation where this has been going on for how long now, and there has anyone yet to be held accountable. Lois Lerner has been the most held accountable, and all she has done is gone congressional committee and pleaded the Fifth Amendment. This is the most accountability that we have gotten so far from this administration on this matter. So on Wednesday, our buddy Lois went before the House committee investigating the extra scrutiny here of conservative groups who were seeking tax-exempt status, and once again, Lois Lerner did plead the Fifth Amendment. House Republicans had summoned her to testify before Congress on Wednesday, more than 9 months after she first invoked her Fifth Amendment rights. And apparently what had gone on last weekend is that Lois Lerner's attorney, what is his name here? I saw his name here. Oh, I can't find it now. Anyway, Lois Lerner's attorney. Apparently, there was last weekend there was an attempt at some kind of deal being made that there was talk of immunity. For some reason they wanted to delay this hearing until next week, and that she would come before the committee again. I don't know why. Why would you want to delay it for a week? Because I think that probably basically the same thing was just going to happen again, is that she's just going to, plead the Fifth Amendment again. But the chairman of this hearing, Congressman Daryl Issa of California, after about 15 minutes or so of this Fifth Amendment pleading, that he had pretty much could see the writing on the wall and that this really was not going to go any further. And so he adjourned the hearing, and before told Lois Lerner that she was free to go because apparently at that point it was obvious that she was not going to have anything to say. And when the ranking Democrat, Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland, tried to ask a question, and there were some fireworks that ensued, and Congressman Issa has raised the possibility of holding Lois Lerner in contempt for refusing to testify. I've seen and heard several things from several people. I am not a lawyer, and I do not play one on TV, and I certainly do not play one here on the radio. But I do know that she can be held in contempt for not testifying. I think at this point that the Republicans probably do have several options here. Immunity is certainly one of them. It would certainly not be the most attractive option, but it is an option. And I think that there are probably several other options that they do have to, let's just say to coerce her into testifying. And Congressman Issa is going to confer with other Republican members of the committee and, see what their next step is going to be. But Ms. Lerner's attorney said that she, after the hearing, her attorney said, that told the committee's GOP majority that Lerner would be willing to testify if they delayed the hearing for a week. But Congressman Issa's staff rejected that. Okay, why would you, I don't understand why you would put this off for a week when basically the same thing is going to happen again. But, and also, William Taylor, who, there it is, William Taylor, who is Lois Lerner's attorney, also stated that we lost confidence in the fairness and the impartiality of the forum. It is completely partisan. There was no possibility, in my view, that Ms. Lerner would be given a fair opportunity to speak or to answer questions or to tell the truth. It would have just been an opportunity for Issa and others to vilify Ms. Lerner on television. I think by pleading the fifth at every turn, I think that she's probably already done that to herself. I don't think she has needed any help from Congressman Issa and any other Republicans on the committee. But, when he says that, when Mr. Taylor, Lois Lerner's attorney, says that there was no possibility that she was going to be given a fair opportunity to speak or to answer questions, she's had how many months to speak and answer questions, and all she has done is plead the Fifth Amendment. And, alluded to earlier, while this whole scenario is going on, as Congressman Issa is trying to adjourn this hearing, Representative Cummings, he had a little problem with
it. The truth is the obligation of this committee. I can see no point in going further. I have no expectation that Ms. Lerner will cooperate with this committee, and therefore we adjourn. Chairman, I have a statement. I have a procedural question, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have a procedural question. Mr. Chairman, you cannot run a committee like this. You just cannot do this. This is, we're better than that as a country. We're better than that as a committee. I have asked for a few minutes to ask.
Sir, I have one procedural question, and it goes to trying to help you get the information by the way that you just asked. But here's your question. I'm going to let me say what I have to say. I've listened to you for the last 15 or 20 minutes. Let me say what I have to say. Sir, I have one procedural concern, your release you made. But first, I would like to use my time to make some brief points. For the past year, the Central Republican accusation
in this investigation, we're adjourned. Close it down.
Before our...
Thank you.
Okay, here's it's this whole scene here that is going on. It's so classically liberal and so classical, so indicative of the Democratic Party. What's going on here is that this woman who is suspected, we don't know, first of all, she won't talk, and second of all, it's an ongoing investigation, so in all fairness, we really don't know yet that this woman could very well be responsible for groups of literally millions of Americans being targeted by the IRS based on their political beliefs. And to distract from this, because it's going on under Barack Obama's watch, a Democrat congressman is going to throw a hissy fit and you know, make this big display while this hearing is being adjourned. And it's just so, it's such a distraction, and it's so obvious what's going on here. And what happened here is that Lois Lerner pleading the fifth again was not the story. What the story was, and what the mainstream media, of course, ran with, was Daryl Issa shutting off Elijah Cummings' microphone. And then, of course, people like Jesse Jackson had to come in and talk about how racist it was. And after that, you're off and running. And it's just such a classic tactic of the left to distract and to wave their arms and go, ooh, look over here, look at this, while what the real story is, they don't want you to see, they don't want you to look at. And so, you know, what happens from here with Lois Lerner, you know, whether or not she is going to be held in contempt, whether or not the Republicans on the committee will come up with another way to not only to get her back in front of this committee, which unfortunately it could lead to some form of immunity. Be unfortunate, but you know, I think that this is a situation that someone has to be held accountable. It's unacceptable. It is an unacceptable situation for Americans in 2014 to be being harassed by an organization, by an entity like the IRS, based on their political beliefs. And so hopefully someone, we will hear from Lois Lerner soon. And incidentally, while Lois Lerner is busy pleading the fifth and not talking to talking to congressional committees about this situation. Well, there is a group of people that she is talking to, and the group of people that Lois Lerner is talking to is the Department of Justice. Secondly, not only is Lois Lerner talking to the Department of Justice, but I'm going to ask a question here, and then I'm going to take a break, and you all can kind of, you know, chew it over and tell me what you think. But do innocent people need to plead the fifth? If there is not a smidgen of corruption, like President Obama emphatically stated to Bill O'Reilly during his pre-Super Bowl interview back in February, if there is not a smidgen of corruption here, then why does Lois Lerner need to take the fifth again and again and again? You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. Thanks for hanging out with me. Be back in a minute.
Looking back in front of me, the mirror's a grin. Through eyes of love I see, I'm really looking at a friend. Fall out of problems, when I'm in, my heart goes out to others, we're there to make a man. We've been walking the tightrope, trying to make it right. Every day and every night, walking the tightrope,
we're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio because it's Friday night. Where else would you rather be? I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out and chilling out with me tonight. Like I said at the top of the show, finally, it is not 10 degrees here in St. Louis, and we are all ever so happy about it. We are talking, let's see, we are talking IRS hearings. We, of course, are talking Russia and Ukraine. We have got CPAC on the brain, and we also, we've got some new poll numbers for Barack Obama and his administration and the Democrats in general, and I don't know, it could be bad. It could be bad. And also, on a very positive, happy note, we have an update on the German couple who was seeking asylum and attempting to stay here and live in the United States to homeschool their children. So we're going to talk about that, too, in a minute, too. But like I said, this is also CPAC weekend, and, of course, there is always tons to talk about and a whole bunch of stuff going on there. Personally, I was not fortunate enough to attend this year. Better luck next year, you know. But also, on a personal note, as most of you know, I am now on the writing team for News Ninja 2012. That is WayneDupree.com and Wayne Dupree's group. And first of all, big shout out to Wayne Dupree because he is a super awesome guy, and he is, man, he is doing God's work because he's got a whole bunch of us, and we are standing right behind him and doing our best to get the conservative message out and to get the message out to people that freedom and liberty is the way to go and not to be stranded on the Democratic plantation, no matter what color you are. But I want to give some shout-outs here to Alyssa Crum and the rest of the News Ninja team. They won the Podcast of the Year award at CPAC for their interview with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. How could you not win an award for doing an interview with Alan West, you know? I mean, how could you do anything but come out on top there? You know, what could possibly go wrong there? But big congrats to all of my News Ninja buddies there at CPAC. I hope you guys are having an awesome time. Have one for me. I know you will. And I am definitely there with you in spirit. So just wanted to give a big shout-out to my News Ninja 2012 peeps. And please check out newsninja12.com. It's a fantastic website. There's awesome writers there, some radio stuff going on, and lots of stuff to see there. But also, besides that, you know, there's always interesting things that happen at CPAC. And there's a couple things here that stand out that come to mind. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, he is in a primary race this year. I believe the gentleman who is running against him goes by the name of Matt Bevin, and I think he's getting some pretty decent support there in the Bluegrass State. But Mitch McConnell came on stage today is Friday. It all starts to run together by Friday, doesn't it? Came on stage yesterday, the first day of CPAC. He was packing. Senator McConnell was carrying a rifle when he came out on stage, and I think a lot of people have speculated, you know, that he's obviously well aware that he is going to have a primary fight on his hands this time around, and he's been accused recently of being a rhino, and that's not something that if you are a Republican, whether you're a senator or a congressman, and you are, well, every congressman is up for re-election this year, but any Republican who's up for re-election this year, you do not want the word rhino anywhere in the vicinity of your name because it's just things will not go well for you. So that was kind of interesting to see Senator McConnell come on stage packing. And also another really interesting thing that happened was New Jersey Governor Chris Christie came out to give a speech to the crowd, and he got a standing ovation this year. And what makes that interesting is that last year he was disinvited. He was not invited. He was uninvited. Chris Christie was not at CPAC last year, and I think that the powers that be there at CPAC and their friends and neighbors were a little miffed about Chris Christie giving Barack Obama that big old man hug, you know, right in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. And you know, when you take that at face value and you took that just as that picture for what it's worth, yeah, I could see maybe where some Republicans might get a little pissed about that. But you know, if you want to give Chris Christie the benefit of the doubt too, this is a guy whose state was just really slammed by a hurricane slash snowstorm slash, I think they must have gotten four seasons of weather, you know, in a 24 or 48 hour period. And I think that the first and foremost thing on Chris Christie's mind at that point was getting help for the people of his state. And I think if that meant he had to buddy up to President Obama and give him a big old man hug and, you know, go to Nathan's and get a hot dog with him, he was going to do what he had to do to get some federal money to get help for his state. And that's what governors do, especially in the face of a tragedy like that and a very serious situation like this storm was. That's what they do. They try to do the best that they can for the people of their state. And, you know, that's how it looked to me, you know, the first day or two after that happened. But so he came out on stage and after not being invited last year, got a standing ovation. And, you know, he is among a group of, I believe I heard a number was 16 Republicans right now today whose names are being bandied about as possible presidential contenders. And, well, here's a few little snippets of a few little speeches and people speaking here at CPAC yesterday.
Big-name Republican politicians gathered Thursday at the Conservative Political Action Conference to discuss the state of their party and the future.
I think the left is exhausted. Our side is energized. And on Election Day, we're going to win.
Midterm elections was a hot topic amongst the politicians.
We don't get to govern if we don't win.
I'm optimistic about our chances because the left isn't just out of ideas. They're out of touch.
Our ideas are better than their ideas, and that's what we have to stand up for.
Education was a big talking point.
Every child deserves an opportunity to have an excellent education, regardless of your race, your class, your creed, where you come from. Every child deserves a fair chance at the American dream.
It means we have to be in favor of an educational system that's accountable so that child, as they grow, can have a world-class education.
Taking shots at the media was a common theme.
The media doesn't even notice. They're too busy trying to fix Benghazi for Hillary. Or playing defense for Harry Reid's latest smear campaign.
We have to stop letting the media define who we are and what we stand for.
CPAC 2014 continues on Friday. For WashingtonExaminer.com, I'm Lisa Rule.
You know, I think there was a couple of really good points that were made there, too. And actually, one of the best ones there was made by Chris Christie, and that is that we have to start talking about things that we are for. We are for smaller government. We are for people keeping their own money. We are for a strong military. We have to start talking about things that we are for, because if we don't do that, it makes the job of the mainstream media trying to paint us as the party of no, it makes their job that much easier. And so I I think that Chris Christie is right on in that respect. And there's a lot of really great speeches that have gone on here in the last, and we're not done yet. We got one day to go left, and I'm sure there's going to be some really great speeches go on tomorrow, the last day of the conference. I also think that people talking about the media, all the people who brought up the media, and you know, I think that Republicans and conservatives, I think that we get made fun of a lot of times for what maybe the left and a lot of people who are left leaning probably view as kind of an obsession. But when you are constantly labeled as something that you're not, and you're constantly, the things that you do and you say are constantly twisted and turned into something that they're not, it's pretty easy to be obsessed by it. And I think that maybe one of the things that we also have to stop doing is, yeah, be vigilant of the media and be vigilant of the things that they do and say about us, but we also have to push through our own media. We have to push through the new media. And not only do we have to push through the new media and make it a very viable contender with old dinosaur media, and I think that that's going on now. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just trying to you know, talk about what I see and the things that I see and hear and the things that a lot of other people see and hear every day. And that is that I think we are making progress. And I think one time that I heard Glenn Beck say this, and I completely agree with them, is that we not only have to match them, we have to beat them. We have to beat them until there's nothing left there, until we win. And it's going to be a long fight, and it's going to be a long battle, but I think it's something that we have to do. And it's going to be vital to conservative interests within the next, you know, 5, 10, 20 years from now even. It's something that is going to have to be done, because we know what these people do, we know what they don't do, and we know why they don't do it. And it's going to have to be, it's going to have to be called out, and we're going to have to keep continuing to call them out on it. And so, again, like I said, I think a lot of this is going to be televised tomorrow on C-SPAN. I could be wrong, but I think a lot of it is. There's going to be some more great speeches that are going to go on, and there's a ton of it that's online, too. So I would definitely urge anybody to check it out and check out what's going on there. But Anyway, in addition to CPAC, you know, when Barack Obama first came on the scene and, you know, all the hopey, changey thing and yes, we can, and there was just throngs of people who just couldn't control themselves and you know, well, I think we all remember gatherings such as this.
You may have noticed that there's an election going on here in Ohio. By the way, those of you guys who have seats, feel free to sit down. I'm going to be talking for a while here. And then those of you who don't, make sure to bend your knees, because sometimes people faint, fall out. Not because I'm so exciting, but just because you've been standing a long time.
Well, they're not fainting anymore, are they? I have some poll numbers here. And, well, you know, The fainting has appeared to, well, the fainting has appears to be waning just a bit, just a tad. The first one I have here is a Fox News poll, and this is from yesterday, the 6th. And, what's going on here? It says that 60% of Americans say the United States is worse off today than it was when Barack Obama became president. Only 34% think that the country is better off. The president is also slipping among Democrats. In 2012, 81% felt the country was better off. That figure is now at 57%. And also, this is especially in an election year, and we know that because of Obamacare, there are a lot of there's a group of senators who are headed for the hills. They want no part of Obama or Obamacare. It goes on to say practically every key issue from the economy and job creation to health care and foreign policy, a majority of Americans disapprove of the president's performance. Statistically, the president has hit a record low in popular opinion this week. The Fox poll shows 54% of Americans disapprove of how he has done his job. Less than 4 in 10 voters, 38%, feel positive about his performance. That's down from November 2013, when 40% approved. Most Democrats, 71%, continue to support. I believe this. I think a lot of other people believe it, and I think that most of us will stand by this thought that this is seriously going to come back to bite them in November, especially with Obamacare getting up. Well, it might be getting up and moving. You have to check the website to find out. But on creating jobs, 59% of the country believe the White House has basically failed. Regarding his overall handling of the economy, 58% give him the thumbs down, with 36% approving. The 36% maybe are the people who have what do they call it now? Job lock? Is that just don't work, just don't have a job so that you can get your free health care and your free this and your free that and your freebies. So maybe that's the 36% who think that this is great. And also it does go on to say Obama had mostly succeeded or mostly failed on improving the country's health care system, while we're talking about Obamacare, 57% he mostly failed. 36%, there's the 36% again. Those are the people who are having job lock. 36% think he has mostly made things better. The poll shows that 56% of Americans disapprove of how the president manages foreign policy. Majority, 59%, say he has mostly failed to improve America's image around the globe. That is a new low for the administration, which garnered 39% approval and 52% disapproval on foreign policy in December. That is no doubt an even lower number now, given the situation in Russia and Ukraine right now today. The president's positives, the one place that he does have some positive numbers, are highest on Homeland Security. On that subject, 41% think his administration has, as a rule, succeeded. I'm not sure why. There's also a glimmer of good news for the president on the economy, where just 51% of Americans think the economy is getting worse. That's down from 55% who felt negatively in February of 2013. This poll was conducted between March 2nd and 4th and has a plus or margin error of 3 percentage points. So there's the Fox News poll, which does not bode well for the Democrats in November. I think we already knew that, but as more and more, more and more little Obamacare tidbits come to light, that is going to change too. I also have something here from the Washington Post. That is dated March the 4th, which was Tuesday, something like that. It says that the American people trust Democrats more than Republicans on some of the key issues of the day, but that has not translated into any sort of political advantage. I think we've already seen that. And again, this is a Washington Post poll, so Washington Post is certainly no conservative rag. So with that thought in mind, it goes on to say that that this is the case despite the Republican Party's poor image nationally and its deficit on some important issues. About 2 in 3 Americans say the GOP is out of touch, quote, with the concerns of most people in the United States today. I think that would be vastly disputed by a lot of people. It says, actually, though, some of the biggest dissatisfaction is with politicians in Washington, which actually is kind of a surprising statement from the Washington Post. Just 22% say that they are inclined to reelect their representatives in Congress, which might be a good foreshadowing of things to come for Republicans. Almost 7 in 10 Americans, 68%, say they are inclined to look around for someone new this fall. And that is a pretty good thing. Another little thing here I found interesting about this. It says, despite the problems with the health care law's implementation, Democrats maintain an edge over Republicans on which party Americans trust to deal with the issue by a margin of 44% to 36%. Democrats hold advantages of the same size on energy and immigration. On helping the middle class, the Democrats have a 13-point average over the Republicans, which I found really interesting because they are the ones strangling small businesses with regulations that ultimately are job killers, because small businesses are the ones who are creating the jobs. What jobs are being created in this country, for the most part, are being created by small businesses. So I really found that surprising, given the fact that regulations upon regulations on small businesses is, you know, and a lot of that is related to Obamacare. You know, it's really hurting the small businessman, and it hurts them in the form of not being able to hire. And so there's some numbers there that we should all remember come November, because I think remember come November. Ooh, there's a good slogan for the Republicans, remember come November. Because they are definitely going to change. Very quickly, an update now on the Romkes, Romike, Romke, everybody butchers their name, R-O-M-E-I-K-E. You can judge for yourself. This is the German family who are Christians, and they were granted asylum in 2010 based on religious freedom. It is illegal in Germany to homeschool your children. You can face fines. You can face losing custody of your children. You can face jail time. And on Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court had declined to hear their case. And so that was definitely not a good thing. But the next day, the Department of Homeland Security granted the Romkes indefinite deferred status. And what that means is that they're really not going to they're not going to harass them again anytime soon. And this was such a wonderful thing to hear, that that these people are who came here for the same reason that millions of other immigrants have come to this country for 200 plus years, have come for, whether it's political asylum, religious freedom, political freedom, freedom to live their lives the way they want to, that America has always been the last place to come to for that. And when the Supreme Court declined to hear their case the other day, I couldn't imagine what these people must think of America and the idea of America. But they have been allowed to stay by the Department of Homeland Security, and so we applaud that decision, and that is fantastic. That we hope that the Romkes will be here enjoying their lives as Americans for a long time to come. So there is an update on that. That about does it for me tonight. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me tonight. Please go to, get it all in here. Please go to where it all started, theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. That is the blog. Please go to facebook.com/BeckyNoble. I am there. I am also on Twitter at PatriotWitch. Please go to examiner.com. You can see a lot of my articles and writings there. And please check out News Ninja 2012. There's going to be a lot of my stuff there in the coming soon to be up there and running. And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and thank everybody for hanging out. And you're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I will see you next time. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks a lot. See ya.
Stand up. And if this is the land you love, get up. If you're tired of them running your country down, here's your chance.